As you'll have seen through the service so far, we're really passionate, we're keen to proclaim Jesus, our Redeemer, to speak of him, to sing of him, to act in response to who he is. And the shoeboxes are one example of that. But as we come to look at this passage today from the book of Ruth, we're going to look at an individual called Boaz. And he's an individual in the story that I trust we can learn lots from. We can grow in understanding more about who God is as we look at his life. So if you've got a Bible, turn to the book of Ruth. If not, there'll be verses on the screen, so do follow them. And hopefully the slides will come up in any second. So Boaz, it's an unfamiliar name. I don't think anyone at Barton's called Boaz, as far as I'm aware. Maybe a few more years and a few babies will be called Boaz, who knows. At the moment, I don't think there's too many. But Boaz is a really interesting character. And the book of Ruth, as we heard a few weeks back when James Webb was speaking, is a fascinating narrative, an amazing story, revealing God's kindness, his love, through individuals. As Ruth shows her kindness to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then as we come to look at Boaz now, we're going to see how he reveals more of God's character and how we can respond to that in our own lives. First of all, kindness is a bit of a theme in the book. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this phrase, random acts of kindness. A number of years ago, certainly, this was quite big. And it was all about how Christians, how we could do lots of random acts of kindness to people. And it certainly took off in the university that I was at. This might be quite a familiar sight if you're a student, if you're anything like my house or my flat were. A daily basis of a kitchen is to look pretty messy. How do you organise that? Well, the CU that I was a part of said, I know, we can, as a CU, they said, we can go in and love our flatmates. We can go in and share something of the love of Jesus through tidying up kitchens and washing up. So that went fairly well for a few days, and that was it. So the random act of kindness was really pretty random. It wasn't regular. It didn't really develop a routine or rhythm. Either way, that was one example. Another that I found would be really good as a footballer was to get my muddy football boots clean. But then I realised that actually I should be doing this for others if I was going to do a random act of kindness. And so I cleaned my housemates' football boots on a few occasions and realised that, again, it's quite hard to just do that week in, week out. And all sorts of students came up with different ideas and things. But there's one particular evangelistic strategy that I think we can really learn from. And I wonder, I've actually got it here in an envelope, because I think it's from God, really. So Eric, if you can come forward. Eric is the other pastor of the church, and he heads up evangelism. He's a passionate evangelist. And I thought, Eric, you could find out how you could get involved in a great random act of kindness. You need to open that, and I'll put a picture of the screen. And this is something else people have done to display the love of Jesus to regular people who maybe have never come across it. So the image there is free hugs. And there's been a few references to Eric's affectionate nature. And this could be an encouragement for you, so take that with you.
Sadly, it's not in the New Testament.
Greet one another with a holy kiss. Hugs, yeah, but anyway, we'll explore that another time. Lots of different strategies and ways to display kindness. But actually, often, these acts are fairly superficial. Is our faith shown through superficial or sacrificial acts of kindness? And as we come to look at Boaz, I trust that we'll see it's far more than superficial responses to needs of friends or to do things that push our comfort zone a bit, but actually display something of the love of God that is regular, that is something that has real significance and is sacrificial. So we're going to see, I trust, how we can have a faith full of everyday action because we know Jesus as our Redeemer. And that's kind of where I want to start at for us today and finish at, hopefully, in about 20, 25 minutes time, how we can see everyday action as being a part of our faith. Faith being shown through everyday action as we know Jesus as our Redeemer. But where are we up to in the story of Ruth when Boaz comes along. If you were here a few weeks ago, you might remember, but Ruth decided to return to her mother-in-law's homeland, Bethlehem in Judah, Israel. She was from Moab, and she decided that she would return. She had lost everything. She had lost her husband, and so had her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had lost her husband. So she was a widow. She was from Moab, so she wasn't from the tribe, any of the tribes of Israel. And she returns back to this foreign land. And as she returns, she realizes that they don't have much. Their land has been sold because they were poor because of the famine. They return and they've got to start up a new life again. So we see something of Ruth's kindness. But then, thankfully, we see an individual coming onto the scene, Boaz, who is a great example for us and a redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, and gives them hope and restores all that was lost. And we're going to explore a little bit about what that involved. And the first thing that we see really is that Boaz was a man of faith that was shown through everyday action. Let's read a part of James, the book of James in the New Testament first to see how important this is for us. As we look at a book in the Old Testament, we also know parts of the New Testament talk about faith being real. And this is what James said to a number of churches after Jesus had risen and gone back to his Father in heaven, as the early churches were working out how to apply their faith. He said this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds.'" So it's a call, isn't it, to showing our faith through action. It's faith that works, faith that produces a life, a behavior that shows it's genuine. It's not just something in our mind or in our heart. It's something that flows through into our actions. And this is exactly what we see Boaz executing in his daily life. He does it in a very practical sense. What is it then about his faith that we can learn from? What does it look like? How can we understand it? And the first thing we see is that his faith was respected in society. I'll read the first verse of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech." Ugh, I knew I was going to get that wrong. "Whose name was Boaz." Now, what we see from that one verse is that Boaz is from the clan, the family that Naomi had married into. And so there's a link straight away there. And what we find is that Boaz is described as a man of standing, which for us, what does that mean? Well, he was able to stand up. No, a little bit more than that. He was more than an upright kind of guy. He was literally an upright guy. He was worthy. Other translations describe him as being a worthy man, a man of real good standing in society. And that was linked to two kind of things. The first thing was his faith. He was from Bethlehem, and he, as we read throughout the rest of the book of Ruth, was a man of faith in God, who followed God's ways. And don't forget, this book is written in the time of the Judges, when there were very few good examples of Israelite faith. Instead, there were lots of bad examples of people turning away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and instead following the gods of the surrounding nations. And so what Boaz shows us is that he is a man that held on to his faith in the God of his fathers. But the second thing is that he was respected across society. He was an individual of leadership standing. He was known in the community. He was someone that had agricultural wealth and land. He was a leader. And this impacted his communication and his relationship with others. he was respected in society. And what I think wonderful is, here we've got an individual who has a leadership position in society, who is proclaiming his faith through his actions, as we come to see shortly, and he is respected. And I think for us today, as we maybe work, as we live in a society that's relatively anti-God and Christian, what we find here, again in a setting where it would have been hard to live out your faith because of the surrounding pressures, is an individual who does that, who models that for us. And so we can be encouraged, if those of you are working in a different setting, to Boaz, obviously, maybe you're not into land, or maybe you're into property, maybe you've got some occupation, or you know people and you're responsible for others. You're a leader in society. Take heart that you can be respected in your leadership, but also in showing your faith. And we're going to see how he actually does that in a moment. And what he did was he displayed everyday faith at work. It wasn't something he just kept for one day a week. It was something that he showed and displayed through his everyday actions. So let's find out how. In verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you,' they answered." So there we have Ruth looking for work and going and doing what the poor people of the day would have done, following the harvesters, picking up the bits they missed, picking up the grain and collecting it. And here we have Boaz returning, coming to his harvesters, the field. He's engaged with his workforce. He talks to them and he identifies an individual, and he recognizes her. But before he starts a conversation with Ruth, we see that he says something to his workforce. Did you spot that? I'll read it again. "Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you,' they answered." It's like some sort of mantra that you might hear in a school setting. I was at my kids' parents' evening this week. I've been to various assemblies over the years, and there's always that "good morning, Mr. Jones" kind of line that the children perform. It's quite funny, really, because it's very much a trained mantra, isn't it? I don't know how genuine it is. That's almost the impression we get with this phrase, "the Lord be with you, the Lord bless you," they answered. And yet I want to propose that it's far deeper than some assembly mantra. This is Boaz speaking of God to his workforce, his people, the people that he's employing. He's saying, "The Lord be with you." God's very presence be with you as you work. This is a blessing that is not to be overlooked. He doesn't just organize his workers and make sure they're working. He brings God's blessing into their very work itself. And they reply with, "The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you." It's an awareness that as God's presence is with those that are collecting in the harvest, that Boaz, who is responsible for the harvest, will see great fruitfulness and agricultural success. So this is a bit deeper than just some off-the-cuff statement. This is Boaz in his work bringing God right in and speaking to his harvesters. And that's quite significant, because I think what it gives us a glimpse of is the fact that our faith isn't just for Sundays. Our faith isn't just for when we're with God reading the Bible on our own. It comes and interacts with every aspect of our life, our daily week, our working week, our time at home with our children, our time visiting friends and parents and family. It interacts in those spheres. And Boaz models that for us. And what we find he then does is he goes a step further and he shows compassion and care for the vulnerable. This is where he meets Ruth. Boaz asks the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite whom came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Striking, isn't it? How Boaz, in his esteemed high position, doesn't just care for his workers. He looks and sees an individual, a refugee, essentially, a widow, who is trying to just collect a few of the leftovers so that she can get some sort of survival. And he speaks with compassion, with care. He notices her. He provides for her by saying, "Look, stay within my field. Stay with the other women. I'll make sure that the men don't harm you. I'll make sure that you get a drink and that you get rest." And in fact, later on in the chapters of the story, we find that he goes beyond that and says, "Look, take some extra home with you for your mother-in-law, Naomi." He is a caring boss, a caring individual, somebody that has compassion and care for the vulnerable. There's lots at the moment, isn't there, in the news, as there has been with the migrant crisis and the Calais jungle being shut down and individuals being left really to fend for themselves. And the question that comes to us at this time is, how are we caring for those in need? How are we caring for the refugee, those who are seeking asylum, the migrants, those on the edge of society, the vulnerable? How are we caring for those within our workplace who maybe feel like they're overlooked and neglected? Those that are on the edge in our schools, maybe people in our class that are targeted and bullied, maybe individuals within our student groups that just are left to the side and not spoken to. How do we care for those that are pushed to the edge and the fringes? It leaves a big question for us. But if faith is something that comes into the everyday, if our faith is about everyday action, then it means we have to answer those questions. We have to consider what God says. And what we see here in Boaz, a man of faith, is that he doesn't leave it for another day. He deals with the issue immediately. And the first thing he does is he prays for Ruth. And we find a prayer of real blessing. Let's look at it. He says, Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother, your homeland, and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." See, Boaz recognizes her act of kindness, her attempt of faith, her desire to follow and support her mother-in-law in spite of the uncertainties of what were ahead, because she saw something good in God. She saw something good in what the God of Israel was like and the stories that she had heard. But more than that, because she wanted to support an individual in her mother-in-law. And what does Boaz say? "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." There's some fantastic verses in Deuteronomy. Let me read one or two that link back to this. "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." And then later in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, "When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Wow. So we have Boaz fulfilling those words of command of how to interact with the poor and the vulnerable. And more than that, praying blessing for this individual, praying blessing that they may know God's presence in their life and receive restoration. But he doesn't just stop there. See, I don't know about you, but I'm often caught in that place where I see needs around me. I might even pray to God, God, please be with those who are poor in our society. God, please work in their hearts. But I don't quite know what to do, how to respond. And what Boaz shows us is that it is about action as well. He prays, but he doesn't just say, I'll bring this to the leadership team and we'll review it and come up with some plan over the next 12 to 18 months. He actually gets on and does something. He is a man of faith, but also of action, immediate action. I got a letter this last week that had the title Action Required across the front. That if you've ever had one of those letters, it was from the debt collectors. So thankfully it wasn't for me, it wasn't my debt. I have various family members living in different parts of the world, and my sister, who's in Zambia, has a house in Leeds. And for some reason, I've only just received this letter, but about 18 months ago, her council tax wasn't paid, and now the debt collectors are after her. And I get the letter saying, action required. Please settle your debt as soon as possible. So I'm on the phone, I'm trying to work out why, and why the tenants that she'd let her house out to haven't paid it up. I've got to do something quick, or the debt's going to increase. A problem is at hand. I've got to care for the situation that my sister's in. And Boaz sees a need right in front of him. He sees the danger that Ruth is in. And he knows the God that he follows, who has a heart for the foreigner, a heart for the poor, the fatherless, the widow. And he sees that if he's to be like his God, then he needs to do something. So he knows his God and he responds in action. He knows his God is a God of kindness and love and mercy, that he is a good God. And he responds in kindness and love and mercy, in action that shows it, in faith that is shown through action. What happens? So let's read from verse 12. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. This is Boaz speaking. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. So Boaz here says, I'm not just going to give you some food for the short term. I'm not just going to allow you to work in my field. I'm going to do the next thing, which is redeem you, be your guardian redeemer or kinsman redeemer. I'm going to make sure that you're cared for, that your needs are met, that your land is restored, that you've got a future. And if your closest relative can't do that, I will. And this shows something of his faith in action. And it shows that finally we have an Israelite whom at that time we can follow the example of. There have been so many difficult examples in the book of the Judges. And here we have Boaz modeling God's heart of kindness and love and compassion and acting in response to need. So what about our everyday words and actions? Well, the first and most obvious thing is, well, how can we help and care for the poor and the needy, for those around us in the workplace, for those in our family that are needing extra time and support? I had a great conversation this last week about Barton Church and how we engage with the community. And one of the things that we seek to do as a church is to partner with various organizations. Some of them you might have heard of, Street Pastors, Time Out, and CDAC, the Canterbury Debt Advice Centre. They're great ways of us being able to plug into local charities that have got the expertise that mean we can come in and support great things happening in our city. And often when we see needs around us, we think, right, I've just got to get on and do something. I need to drive down to Calais with my car full of blankets and dish them out. Actually, that isn't always the best thing. Sometimes we need to act, but we need to think. We need to talk with those who know what the strategic plan is, how we can care and be compassionate for people in an effective way, in a long-term sustainable sense. And actually, that's exactly what Boaz did. Because he knew the law. He knew what threat Ruth was under and Naomi. And he stepped in to make sure that they weren't just given food for the short term, but that they had a long-term plan, that their land was restored, that in fact he would marry Ruth and provide offspring for the heir of the land to continue the property. So how about our care and compassion? What ways maybe is God stirring in your heart to get involved in the opportunities around you here in Canterbury or the surrounding area? How can we be people of action, not just words? There's a great book called When Hurting Helps. Is that right? My mind's gone black. Yes, When Hurting Helps. And it's a fantastic first kind of step into the why of engaging with local mission, local opportunities. It reveals the problem of broken relationships, the heart of God for those that are poor, and how we can effectively, sustainably engage in our society. But the second thing is to be people of prayer, praying for the needs around us. But more than just praying, being ready to be the answer to our prayers, because that's what Boaz did. Do you remember he prayed a prayer of blessing? May the Lord repay that which was lost. May he greatly reward you. May you find shelter under his wings. And as we read chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, we see Boaz becomes the answer to that prayer. He is the individual through whom she receives shelter. Not just as they end up getting married, but as offspring enable the land to be restored to her. An incredible example of being ready to fulfill the very prayer that he made. I remember at my previous church in Stevenage, it's going back maybe 10 years or so now, we had a really encouraging growing church, lots of families and children, and it was fantastic. But one age category that we were really missing was older, the older age range. And so we started praying as a church, Lord, give us mature believers to come and encourage us as families, to come and show us how to live life as Christians as we continue in our walk. And so we prayed for a while, and we didn't just pray and talk about what to do. We actually started stuff, and we started a monthly lunch kind of club, essentially. Many churches do it, where there was a meal provided, where there was a short kind of explanation of some faith topic, often kind of talking about who Jesus is, but otherwise other topics as well. So in faith, we started doing something as well as praying. And we saw people coming and joining the church from outside in the surrounding community. But more than that, we saw people coming to faith. And only within months, we had several baptisms where a couple in their 70s were baptized as they returned to believe in Jesus after many years being away. And then I remember a 90-year-old lady getting in the baptism pool and sharing her testimony, saying, I've come back into community and I've rediscovered who Jesus is, and what inspiration that was. And trust God worked through the action, not just the conversations and the prayer. So let's be a church that gets on and acts as well as prays and has a heart for those in need. And what we see, and I think we'll finish with this point, as Rob helpfully introduced earlier, is that Boaz fulfilled something for Ruth and Naomi, which was called this kinsman redeemer. He enabled them to be restored by redeeming the land and by securing an inheritance in the future by providing an offspring, by their wedding. And what that did was it fulfilled a right, the right of redemption, which was a right for the poor and the vulnerable in society. But more than that, it enabled a relationship, the relationship of marriage, which then led to a great result, the result of offspring to come. I'll read a short section. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He'll renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And what that does is it shows us that this individual Obed was born, who was to be the father of Jesse, the father of David. We have a genealogy here, a line pointing. The great King David was to come from Ruth. And who was to follow the great King David? The great King Jesus, the ultimate Redeemer, our Kinsman Redeemer, the one who meets our need for redemption, the one who gives us a new relationship with him, and the hope of an amazing result to come, inheritance through believing in him, of life with him forever, the great marriage of the church with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. It's something that needs to strike us in the heart as we think about how we engage with the poor and the needy in society. The starting point for that is knowing our need for a Redeemer. Ephesians 1 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us." So as we think about being like Boaz, people of action, not just words, people of real faith, let's remember that he points us to Jesus, our Redeemer. Let's be people full of everyday action because we know Jesus, our Redeemer. And if you're here this morning and you've got questions about what that means, how that can happen, please speak with someone. There's a prayer area at the back in the corner. We'd love you to walk across there and talk with someone and pray with someone. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to sing a final song. And as we do that, you may feel really challenged by how to act out your faith, how to get to know Jesus as your personal Redeemer. Please, during the song, walk across, go and sit and speak with someone and pray with someone about that. It's a step of faith now. Why don't we all stand? The band are going to come up behind me. Let's stand if you're able to. If you need to sit, that's fine. But let's stand. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing in response. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Boaz, the shining light within a dark season for Israel. A shining light that showed faith in everyday action, because he knew you were the God that saved, that brought redemption to the people of Israel. And I thank you that he points us towards Jesus, the ultimate Redeemer, the one who perfectly redeems us in removing our sin by his death on the cross. May that stir our hearts to action. May that lead us to be people that care for the poor and the hurting and the vulnerable in society. May that help us to take steps forward in our faith today. In Jesus' name, amen.